Let me lead in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you're the sovereign God who's in control, that you've given us the days, the weeks, the months, the years, the seasons and the times that we can steward in your care. Father, we pray that we would use the time that you've given us wisely, Father, that we would make the most of every opportunity, all the more as the day approaches. And Father, in this session, help us to think about the time that's ahead. Help us to think about how to use it wisely to glorify your kingdom and to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Please grab a seat. This session is about thinking forward, continuing to think forward into 2014. I don't know about you, whether you've led bushwalks or taken people away places. It's always just helpful to be a couple of steps ahead. I remember in my first year at university, I was asked back to my old school to do some tutoring. And I was doing some maths that I just had no idea and couldn't remember. And all you had to do, really, was look at the answer page, work a few problems ahead. And as long as you're two pages ahead of the student, you're fine, right? And in some ways, right, as we're leaders and we're involved with leadership in our different faculties, different committees, different specialist teams, we ought to be looking forward a little bit just to help the rest of the crew that we're responsible for to navigate the lie of the land that's ahead, to look ahead. And we know that, don't we? If we know what's coming up, it just helps us to be prepared. And that's what we're going to do in this session, is to think about looking ahead. Now, part of the problem, though, as you look ahead in terms of the calendar, I think the biggest problem is you think about dates, you think about events. And what happens is that you as faculty leaders, you as specialist team leaders, SME staff, what happens is if you've just got a calendar ahead of you with all these events and all these dates, is you end up being event managers. And I think what happens is that you get the feeling, well, what I'm about is thinking about the event that's ahead, I need to organise that, get people along there, and that's my job. But as we've been saying over the last day and a half or so, that's not what ministry is about. Ministry is about people rather than the events and structures. What we do as faculty leaders, as staff people, even in our specialist teams, is we gather people together, we grow them, and we know that it's God is the one who gives the growth, and that's why we devote our time to prayer, because God is a sovereign God who gives the growth. But we also bring the word of God to bear in people's lives in different ways. Whether it's public meetings or small groups, one-to-one Bible studies, what we do is we gather people together and we grow them. For the non-Christian, to grow them by hearing and understanding the gospel. For Christians, for them to grow in the gospel. The great verse in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as received Christ Jesus as Lord, let's do two ways to live course. Now, that's not how it goes. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue. We get to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord, and we continue to grow with Jesus Christ as Lord. And because we're not megalomaniacs and we want to build the largest Christian group on campus and get everybody to fail so they keep on repeating and we get the largest EU group, because that's not what we're on about. We're about sending people onwards. That's what Object 3 is about, to make sure that Christians on campus at this university is aware of the nature, needs and challenge of Christian service home and abroad, and get out of here. You serve. And we're going to be doing that for the rest of our lives. We're going to be gathering people together. We're going to grow them by prayer and the word, and we're going to send them away. It's about people. And so what we've got to do as we think about the calendar and the seasons and people is that we need to somehow combine them together and not just think about events and structures, but think about how the calendar serves our ministry to people. So I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes talking about thematic goals. And that might be a new idea to you, but you've actually heard of it before in terms of EU seasons. Just another term, same sort of thing. And what thematic goals are, it's not our mission. Our mission we talked about yesterday, that's our object, that's what we're on about. The EU has its three objects, and what faculty groups does is we contextualise those objects for our faculty. So thematic goals aren't, it's not the mission, it's not the object. It's not vision. That's a great fun that we had last night. In our little table group, we had a property portfolio that extended from one end of Newtown to the other for EU-type things, and we were buying property out in different places so we can send them to less rich and less resource places. It was great fun dreaming. But that was the picture of the future, of possibility, that gives us an impetus for today, under the Word of God, of course, under God's plans and purposes. Thematic goals is not strategy either. That's what the big three and ANCON's about. That's how we go about achieving our objects in the EU, is we're on about small groups, we're on about public meetings, we're on about fusion and training, right? Training and service, and we're on about ANCON. Right? So what are thematic goals? Well, thematic goals are really helpful because they're a little bit fuzzy. And they're fudgy, they're not quantitative, they're qualitative. And it helps you to galvanize a group together. It's like a rallying cry. And I want to give you a couple of examples. I'm sorry, I'm a rugby nut, so this is what I'm going to do. And the Wallabies are doing terrible at the moment, so I thought I'd give you some history. We've had all sorts of history of the EU. I want to tell you a little bit of history about the Wallabies, right? This is 1991. Who was born in 1991? Okay, it's in your lifetime. They used to win. They were the top ranked rugby side in the whole world. Now, this game was the quarterfinal between Ireland and Australia. Australia was ranked number one, right? They were the team that was destined to win the cup. And Ireland was ranked number seven or something like that. Australia was winning 15-6. Then the score became 15-9, 15-12. And this is what happened just 5 minutes before the end of the game. Thanks, Brian. First video.
Three years earlier in the World Cup, Ireland with a Connacht coach, Kieran Fitzgerald, Eddie O'Sullivan on the management team, and Jim Staples, David Curtis and Simon Gagan in the back, seemed certain, ably abetted by Gordon Hamilton, to deliver a wonderful victory in the quarterfinal for Ireland.
The most phenomenal scenes at Lansdowne Road.
15-12, a try that ended up being converted. Australia's now behind 18-15, 5 minutes left. Australia ranked number one, remember? Ireland ranked number seven. It should have been an easy win. But all they were doing was stuffing around, right? And they just saw the score just creep higher and higher and higher. 5 minutes to go. They actually finally got their act together and thought, what are we going to do? We're just going to boot the ball down the field, because we know that they probably won't run it and kick it out. And they're going to have a line out, and this is what happened. Thanks, Brian.
Time to go then. Ireland leading by 18 points to 15. Won by Eels. Reiner to Horan. On the switch comes Campese. Looking and getting support from his pack. Ireland forced to defend desperately as the Australians look to get this ball back again. Australia going forward, so they'll get the put in at the set scrum.
Now, of course, the immediate question is whether Australia goes to the field goal to draw and pay for the extra time or for the winning try. That'll be a character decision for Australia.
Yes, in fact, just to remind you, 10 minutes each way of extra time should the sides finish level. Opa Hengawi controls the ball, number 8, finally releases it. Horan, the pass, Little, to Campese, going for his hat-trick. Tackle short, Reiner's in there, Reiner scores. So the great champions that they are then, Australia bounce back immediately with a try by Michael Reiner.
Sorry, that was just because I wanted to see it again. But it's one of those things. I think sometimes what happens is, when things are desperate, we're somehow able to galvanize our thoughts and our ideas and go for it. When we're behind the eight ball, I mean, we saw it in the America's Cup between Australia. It was Australia, ultimately, the team USA. But between the USA and New Zealand, what happened? The come behind, from 8-1 down, Team USA ended up winning. When their backs were against the wall, they thought, this is the most important thing, that's what we're going to do. Thematic goals actually help us concentrate a little bit more. I want to talk about another situation. Some of you know that I work as a doctor, and part of my life working the public hospital system. I spent four of my years working in the public hospital system, and if you've ever never worked in a public hospital system, they can be one of the most parochial, horrible places to work in because every department hates each other. It's all about their budget, it's all about their thing, and the famous line that you'll hear all the time is, that's not in my job description, right? So nurses won't clean up, doctors won't do things that aren't assigned to them clean up. The one place where all the parochialism breaks down, all the working for your own department breaks down, is in the accident emergency room. The one place where it's desperate, the one place where lives are at stake, they work together. And what you get is wardsmen holding up legs, and you get doctors who happen to want to clean up things so that things are able to be done. You get nurses doing procedures and other people working together for the sake of the patient. Thematic goals are a way to rally the troops, to think about things, to see what's the most important thing right now without having to go to the desperate straits. Why wait until you're in the fourth quarter and you're down and you're just about to lose the game? Why wait until it's a life and death situation before you can actually galvanise your thoughts and work together? Thematic goals is a way of thinking, let's rally the troops together. This is the most important thing right now. Let's go about doing it. Because we're familiar with silos. Silos is an American business term, grain silos, all that sort of stuff. What they're talking about is everybody's just interested in their thing. And I think in the EU, one of the problems is we have our own parochialism, actually, sometimes. We run our faculties, and frankly, they're the only people that matter. You know, you work with the international students, you work in EU focus. Well, you know, I don't want to know anybody else. That's the most important thing. I'm involved with the Project Connect 14 team. Frankly, connecting is the most important thing in the whole world. It should run the whole of the EU. Public meetings probably say the same thing. Your faculty probably says the same thing. One thing that can break down those silos, one of the things that can break down just working for our bit, is to think, what is the most important thing right now for us all to do together? And it's not just across faculties and across teams, but also within teams. One of the things that you might do in your committee is to work out different roles for different people. One person involved with small groups, one person involved with evangelism or faculty-based or evangelism in the faculty, another person involved with something else. In specialist teams, you might have the treasurer, or you might have the person who's involved with IT, or you might have the person who's involved with different things. And somehow, they just switch off when nothing's busy for them. Thematic goals are a way of saying, no, there's something really important. Let's get that done right now. So, here's just a little bit of techo talk about what thematic goals are, right? Thematic goals are singular. There's only one thing for one time period. It's qualitative, that is, it's not a number, it's not something that's a numerical goal or something like that, but it's an idea. It's shared by the leadership team, but every person within the whole group, within the whole union actually, and it's for a particular period of time. Let me give you an example. Thematic goal answers the question, what is the single most important thing that we must get done this period in order for us to succeed? And underlying that though, there's still what we call defining objectives. The things that make that true. What does it mean for this idea to be true? Well, we call them defining objectives. And there are other things that just need to get done. Look, just because you think this is the most important thing doesn't mean that we don't have to run small groups, that we don't have to run public meetings, that there's still a whole lot of stuff that just need to get done. Well, don't forget them. They're just the standard things that we need to get done. And then often their numbers. Let me give you an example. And because I'm involved with the Project Connect 14 team, I'm going to talk about the connecting season that we often have each year, right? So one of the things that we do to say, the most important thing right now from O week to week three is making sure that people are on board. And whether you're in a faculty committee, whether you're in a specialist team, whether you're a small group person, that's the most significant thing. Remember that second statement was defining objectives? What does it make that thing to be true? Well, a few things. We probably need to make sure that we recruited and trained connectors for that to work. We've got to make sure that the IT system is actually usable and workable. We've got to make sure that we do the meeting as many people as possible. We've got to call them and actually work out our relationship with them, whether they're Christian, whether they're not Christian, whether they want to be involved with the EU or whether they don't want to be involved with the EU. And we're going to pass them on to a pathway where they will hear the word of God, where they'll build relationships and define a role for themselves and understand what the EU is about. That's what we do, right? The most significant thing that could be done is connecting at that time of the year, because it's going to determine the number of people that end up going to public meetings, to small groups, to annual conference, the number of Christians that will share EU's vision and objects and do the ministry of the EU, the number of non-Christians that we'll come in contact with. That's a great determinant. That's our rallying cry. And of course, there are other things that need to get done. We need to start up public meetings. We need to start up small groups. We need to get the committee meeting again. We've got to get one-to-ones going, assistant small group leaders training. There's a whole lot of stuff that we just need to get done. And we've got certain measures for that. We won't go on to that. The EU has various seasons. Remember what we do in ministry? Ministry is to people. We gather them together. We see them grow in the gospel. And then we move them on. And really, in a lot of ways, what we do in the beginning of the year is we connect up with people, we gather people, we see them grow as they're involved with the Bible in public meetings, in small groups, in one-to-ones, all sorts of stuff like that. And then second semester, we re-contact them again. Often we have a bit of a focus in evangelism in the early part of second semester. And then this time of the year, it's growing through service, thinking about how people can grow through service, and then we think about finishing well. That's a general movement, but there can be particulars within those general movements that might be something that the leadership team think, no, this is the most important thing. So although we've got a fairly generic thing called growing, and often we say that ANCON's got to solve all our problems if we just get people to ANCON, and that's great. I mean, one of the things I think some people have been talking about, I've been hearing, is if we get our training right, our training of assistant small group leaders and senior small group leaders, if we have enough of those people and train them well, well, maybe that will be the lever that helps our small group system, that helps our evangelism, that sort of stuff. So, you know, just listen out. But the SMEs might come out and say, hey, you know what, the rallying cry at the beginning next year after our connecting season might be training, might be leadership or something like that. But generally, I just want to say the flow of the year is gathering, growing, and sending people on, going, okay? But that's the shape of the year. Okay, that's really all the input I want to give, right? All I want to say is it's wise as leaders to look ahead. The calendar's helpful, but don't be sucked in to think that you're an event organiser and you're just trying to get people to event. You're on about people. What you do with people is you gather them, you grow them in the gospel, and you send them on. Right? That's what we're going to do for the rest of our lives. And one way of thinking about that and connecting that with our calendar is think about important seasons of what we're doing. Okay? Does that make sense? Nod. Who doesn't get that? Okay, that's great. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to spend some time in teams looking at the calendar a little bit more detail. And your Howie will have pieces of butcher's paper and little events, and we're going to try to draw out the year, a timeline, and label all the events. But don't forget the seasons. And other things that you can do with the timeline is to think, well, how are you going to react to different times of the year? Are the times of the year where you talk to lots of people and make phone calls, is that going to energize you, or is that a time that's really threatening for you and just going to tire you out? What's annual conference going to be like? What's a regular part of the year going to be like? How are you going to respond? When are your assignments going to be due? When are stressful times? When are less stressful times? Let's plot out an energy plot for each person and just be patient with each other and work out how that works out. So you'll be doing some of that. However, there's some things. One thing that I didn't tell the Howies, and this is new information, so you need to pay attention, right? So we've got an hour or so to do this, but I want you to save 15 minutes to think about the season that we're in now. So even though you're not officially on until the 1st of January, this season is really fueling the rocket season or preparation season or something like that. This is a time when you're going to get together and think about how you're going to get ready for 2014. And there's a few things that's probably really helpful for you to do. So take a photo or take notes or something like that and talk about how you're going to do this within your team. So one thing is, you've got to, like, if trust is really the most important thing in partnership with staff, but also partnership with each other in the team, what sort of things are you going to do to help deepen and develop that trust? Second thing is, okay, Yeah, look, we heard a little glimpse about the connecting that's going to happen, but we actually need the human resources, the people to actually do that, to do the phone calls, to do the connectors, to do the connecting. And do we have landing places where they can go to? Okay, I've connected up with Christian. Great. They should go and do a Bible study. Do you have Bible study group leaders? Do you have assistant small group leaders to work with the Howies to actually run those groups? Great, you meet up with lots of non-Christians. Do you have something for them? Do you have one-to-ones and people who are willing to do evangelistic Bible studies? Yesterday, I had the great pleasure of spending a lot of time with the pharmacy students. And it was fantastic, right? Next year, they plan to have a couple of senior small groups, maybe one or two first-year small groups. But they've got all these great people. Well, do you just say, well, we just need two assistant small group leaders, three at the most, and the rest of the first years that are great, well, we just leave them alone? No! Because what you're going to think is, here are all these wonderful people in our faculty. How can we encourage them to be involved with ministry? Whoops! What other things can they be involved with? Can they be involved with EU Focus? Can they be involved with CUSMIN? Can they be involved with specialist teams? How can we help them grow by encouraging them to serve and to be trained? Now, you'll need to think about how to do that. So the SMEs has decided that this is one of the jobs that the incoming committee ought to be doing in consultation with the exiting committee, who probably know the faculty quite well as well. But you need to think, okay, part of our job is to actually make sure that whole year works with resources. How are we going to identify people, talk to people, challenge people? Okay, second thing. Third thing is, to help prepare you as faculty leaders and specialist team leaders and committee members, one of the things that we're running, Kaz and I are running, is a course called Stepping Up in Leadership. So Kaz is running a course called Stepping Up in Leadership 1 for those who are faculty leaders and specialist team leaders, and I'll be running a course called Stepping Up Leadership 2, which is for committee members. I'd love you to sign up for one of those if you're a faculty committee leader, faculty committee member. Sign up with one of mine, and if you're a leader of a team or a faculty committee, please sign up with one of CAS. Now, there are three times that are available: Monday at 12, Tuesday at 9, and Wednesday at 8. Now, Richard, where are the sign-up sheets gone now? They can move somewhere else. I reckon what they should be is on the stage. Maybe Stepping Up in Leadership 1 on this side of the stage, Stepping Up in Leadership 2 on that side of the stage, and either before going off in your group or before lunch, if you can put your name and email down on one of those times and one of those sheets, that will be really helpful. This semester, it's actually going to start this semester from week 11, because week 10 is going to be a strike. It's only 3 weeks, just a three-week little dash, a little bit of introduction on things that's going to be helpful for you to lead the faculty committee, lead the specialist team, and things that help you be an excellent committee member and understand how it runs. So things that's going to be really helpful for you, only this semester, for 3 weeks only, in week 11, 12, and 13. Yeah? Thanks. Good question. We heard about the equipping day, that Monday the 25th, I think, November. Now, the other thing that might be helpful in your photograph is that Kaz has told me that these are the days. Next year, evangelism is going to be rolled into public meetings. These are particularly the weeks that are going to be the opportunity to invite a non-Christian friend to make a response to the gospel, right? Every week is evangelistic. Every week, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be proclaimed. But particularly in those weeks, they're weeks that are easier to bring your non-Christian friends, because they're the times that they're going to be asked, hey, look, you've been checking out Jesus for a while. Do you want to become a Christian? And that's going to be semester 1, week 2, and the couple of weeks before Easter, and semester 2 in week 2, and also in weeks 4, 5, 6. Okay? And that's all I'm going to say, I think. Now, sorry, I'll pause there. Does that make sense? How is you know what you're going to be doing in the next 50 minutes or so? Got to sign up for Stepping Up in Leadership as well. So if Richard, if I can get you to get those, that would be great. Yes? Speak now, or we're going off for the next 50 minutes before lunch. Okay, let me lead in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again that you're the sovereign God who's in charge of time, and you hold you hold time in your hands. Father, we thank you so much that you choose to use us. Father, help us not to be so structured that we just think of events. Father, help us to think about people all the time, to think about how we may gather them together under the sound of your gospel, your great word, and by the power of your spirit and you working through them to see them grow and mature in Christ. Father, we pray that many people will become Christians next year, and Father, many, many others will come to know you, love you, and serve you in a deeper and more powerful and meaningful way. And Father, we pray this in Jesus' name for the sake of your kingdom.